Some days I stand up here and I think, how can I tell a good joke every Sunday? It's so difficult. So sometimes I have to take a chance on something. So I'm always up here contemplating, do I take a chance? And I can see from your eyes and your faces that you just love it when I take a chance. So here we go. Are you ready? Yes. Yeah, it'll be better than last week. Okay, here you go. Some friars, you know what a friar is, right? Needed to raise more money for books for a school. So they opened up a small florist shop to raise funds. Since everyone liked to buy flowers from the men of God, a rival florist across town thought the competition was unfair. He asked the good brothers to close down, but they would not. He went back and begged the friars to close. They ignored him. So the rival florist hired Hugh McTaggart, the roughest and most vicious thug in town, to persuade them to close. Hugh beat up the friars and trashed their store, saying he'd be back if they didn't close up shop. Terrified, they did so, thereby proving that only Hugh can prevent florist friars. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs kind of maybe, oh, there's, we got applause over here, so. I've been saving that joke for a long time. It's kind of like one of those, you just never know, is that going to go over well or not? Anyway, feel free to tell all your friends this week that joke, so. Yeah, sure. Now I need to have a sit down right now and just relax a little bit. That was a tough one. So in light of all that, we're going to talk about prayer now. And we talked last week about prayer, and struck a lot of chords with a lot of people. I had a lot of people this week suggest some things that are, take home some things that were really, really good about prayer. And we're going to look at some more prayer things today. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. Verses 5 through 15, which is a very famous passage. You will recognize the passage because right in the middle of it is what we call the Lord's Prayer. You guys are familiar with the Lord's Prayer, right? You've heard it. And Jesus has teaching about prayer. And my suggestion has been is that I would look at this because a lot of times we take the Lord's Prayer out of the context it's in. And we don't compare it to the things that are around it. So we're going to look at a couple real quickly. We're going to look at some of the things that are around it and then look at the Lord's Prayer more in depth, I guess you would say. And I thank Tim because he played very few songs today, or the time was short. So that means I can preach longer. See, isn't that? That's why Tim's my favorite. Did you know that? So I can preach all day if I want. You guys don't have anything else to do today, right? Football. Really? That's still a thing? So let's turn. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And we're going to read through the whole passage. I don't usually do that, but sometimes I do. We're going to read through the whole passage, and then we're going to come back and talk about some things that are in there. So Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So there you go. Teaching on prayer. Today, as I was thinking about titles, I have a hard time a lot of times with titles for my sermons, but I just took the first few words of chapter or verse 5, and it starts off with, when you pray. So today, as we go through this, we're going to keep saying that. When you pray, and then finish that sentence. So there's lots of things that are going on here in this little short teaching by Jesus. And so where I'm going to take it almost right word from what Jesus said. That seems like a good idea, right? Just what did Jesus say and just tell you that. That makes life easy for me. It makes it easy for you. So there are three things that we look at, not the prayer itself that we usually quote, but there's two, two examples before it and one afterwards that are wrapped around this prayer. So you get three things. When you pray, don't be a hypocrite. It says that, okay? Verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. The second thing is, when you pray, don't be a non-believer. Now, Jesus used the word pagan, but in terms of what we're talking about here, the way Jesus spoke, pagan meant somebody who was a non-believer, somebody who didn't believe the way the Jews did. Same thing for us. When we talk about a pagan, we're talking about somebody who doesn't believe what we believe, all right? It's not a disparaging word. It just means somebody who is outside the faith. That makes that clear, right? Everybody's got that? This week, someone's going to ask you, that word pagan, what does that mean? And you're going to be able to say, non-believer, right, exactly. And the third thing is, when you pray, don't be self-centered. This comes from the end there where it talks about being forgiven. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. If you forgive, God will forgive you. And that's the idea. I think that's the idea here, and we'll get to this a little bit more in a minute, is the idea of you have to realize that when you pray, it's not just you talking to God. It's also you behaving towards other people and how that affects your prayers. We kind of want to believe sometimes, I think, that we go in, we go sit down, we kneel down, or we sit down, or we close our eyes, and we fold our hands, and we talk to God, and that everything's contained in that little situation. That the only thing that God is doing is listening to our words. The reality is that when God is listening to you speak, he's also looking at everything else that you do in your life. We can't really hide things from God. We kind of think we do, I think, sometimes. We sit down, close our eyes, and talk to God, and that God is only listening to our words, and he's not really paying attention to anything else that's going on. It's not like when you talk to another person. When you talk to another person, you can tell them things, and they're kind of stuck with just either they believe what you say or they don't. That's all they can go. They go by your words. But God is seeing down deep inside you, and he's looking at what you do when you're not praying, and he's comparing all of that, what's going on in your life, everything that goes on. That should be at least a little bit scary. When we think about what some of the things that we think about or some of the things that we do when we think nobody's watching, things like that. So I just wanted to give you two examples. In James chapter 3, I'm sorry, James chapter 4. I wrote 3 here, so it's got to be 4. James, I've been doing this all week. We kind of went back and forth when we were doing the slides because I kept saying, you got putting the wrong thing up there. Well, it turns out I was writing the numbers backwards. Instead of 4:3, I was writing 3:4. So it's James 4, verse 3. James writes, when you ask or when you pray, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. See, God doesn't just listen to what you say. He's also looking at your motives. What is your attitude? Why are you asking for what you're asking for? We think, well, I can tell God, and it sounds good, but the reality is God knows exactly what it is and why it is you want what you want or why you're asking for it. And that's a lot of times a problem for us in that we think that God isn't really paying that much attention. Children's prayers, and I have a whole list of them here, and I'm going to give you one right now. It says, "Dear God, it rained for our whole vacation." This is by a young man or a young girl, I'm not sure. Anyway, it says, "It rained for our whole vacation, and is my father mad? He said some things about you that people are not supposed to say, but I hope you will not hurt him anyway. Your friend." Then it's signed, "I'm not going to tell you who I am." That's how we do things. See, we think we can pray things to God and then somehow we can hide something. We can keep something from God. But that is not what happens. The second verse I want to look at just as an example of what I'm talking about is in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7 says this. This is going to be kind of odd as you're listening to it. You might think this is kind of a weird one on prayer, but let's see what it says. It says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life." And then here's the part, "so that nothing will hinder your prayers." As a husband, or as a wife, actually, you have to realize that the way you treat your spouse is something that God uses to whether or not he listens to your prayers. When was the last time a pastor told you that? And I don't think it's just husbands and wives either. I think the whole principle here is God looks at the way that you treat people. And he says, if you're treating people wrongly, then don't talk to me. I don't really need to hear you. I'm not going to hear you. Isn't that something, how many times have you heard a pastor say that? But that's what Peter's saying here. Your prayers depend upon how you live your whole life. So when we think back to all the things that I said earlier, remember the thing? When you pray, don't be a hypocrite. It's not about how you pray necessarily, it's about how you live your life. When you pray, don't be a non-believer. It's not about during prayer, it's about how you live. Is the only time you live out your faith is when you're praying? I believe in God now because I'm talking to God. But once I walk out of here, I'll live like a non-believer or a hypocrite or I'll be self-centered. And a lot of times we just don't really realize what it is we're doing. We think that we got something on God because we dress up and we look good when we pray, but when we're not praying, we're doing other things. And that's what Jesus is pointing out as he's talking here. So, verse back in Matthew, the first section set is, when you pray, don't be a hypocrite. And I'm just going to remind you what he says. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So, I'm reading this thinking, we're doing things wrong on Sundays. It says very clearly there that I'm not supposed to stand up here and pray in front of all of you, doesn't it? Isn't that what it says? No, it doesn't. But that's okay that you think that because it seems like that's what it says, right? If I'm up here praying and the only reason I'm doing it is so that you all will think that I'm something special, then I'm doing it wrong. In fact, technically speaking, and this is something that you have to be honest with and say, what I should really do is I'm praying is I'm only thinking about me and God. You all just happen to be listening. Now, to some extent, that really doesn't work very well, because while I'm praying, I'm kind of praying for everybody, right? We're all trying to say, trying to give you, we're praying together. So that's why when we say amen and you say amen, you're all agreeing that with what I just prayed, right? So we're all praying the same thing. But the point here is that a hypocrite, when they pray, they only pray for other people's, so the other people will view them in a positive way. And Jesus says, when you pray, make sure that what you're doing is talking to God. That's what you want to make sure you're doing. Whatever, whoever else is listening, whatever else is going on, we want to be talking to God. Apparently, that's not what the Pharisees would do. They would stand in front of people and do these long, involved prayers so that everybody would think how special they are, how righteous they are, how they had a direct line to God, and things like that. When the reality is, prayer is really just talk to God. Make sure that God is the one you're talking to. Because if I'm talking to you and you applaud afterwards, then that's my reward. That's what Jesus said. They get their reward. Why? Because people think well of them. Well, if that's your goal, you can get that reward, but what good is that at the end of the day? The reward you want is the one where you talk to God, and God says, that was well done. That's the reward you're looking for. So you don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want to pretend like you're doing one thing when you're doing something else. When I'm praying, or any of us are praying in public, that's what we want to do. Talk to God, not to the people around you. Talk to God. Don't be a hypocrite. That's what Jesus says about prayer. Second thing in verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. There are some people who will then say, well, you shouldn't really ask for things at all. God already knows what you want. You don't have to ask for it, right? Isn't that what it says? See, you guys are all, you're getting close to my tricks now. When I say that, nobody says anything, because they're saying, I'm not sure I know what he wants right now, so I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to wait to see what he says. But that's kind of what it says. The point is that you don't try to, when you talk to God, you don't want to be in that situation where you're trying to convince God that you really need to get what you want to get, that you need to twist his arm, or that there's some special words that you might be able to say that would get what you want. And that is really one of those things that we get lost in a lot of times as Christians, is that we think that prayers, what the specific words we say or the way that we talk matters. But it really isn't. Because that's actually what we would call a spell. If I can say words in a particular order or use particular words, and somehow God is then obligated to answer that prayer, I can get God to answer my prayer by doing certain things or saying certain things, that's witchcraft. That's what witches do, by trying to get some higher power or somebody to answer and control them so they will do what I want to do. God knows what you want. That doesn't mean he doesn't want to talk to you. He does, and he wants you to share things with him, just like you do that with your kids or with your friends. You may know what they need from you, but having them ask is not going to bother you, right? It's a conversation that you have, and sometimes you need to tell people things so that you get them clear in your own mind, or because the communication needs to be clear, or everybody needs to be on the same page. And so we don't want to be, in that sense, a non-believer, because that's what non-believers do. They may be talking to their concept of God, but they don't really realize that they're really not putting their faith in God. They're believing in their own prayers, or their own abilities, or their own words. Jesus uses a word here that's translated in the NIV as babbling. Apparently, it's a word that only appears here in all of the Greek literature we have from the time. It's almost like Matthew made up a word. And it just means that you're saying words that ultimately have no purpose other than your own trying to convince somebody or trying to do something that's outside of faith. Sometimes we do say that. We say, well, we believe in prayer. Okay, well, if you mean by that, I believe that talking to God is effective, that's good. But sometimes what we mean by that is, as long as I'm praying, then I have my faith in the praying. We can do the same thing with the Bible, for example, too. We can move our faith from the God that we're supposed to be talking to, or the God who we're supposed to be listening to in the Bible, and instead put our faith in the other things. Begin believing that the Bible is, we've replaced God with the Bible, or replace God with the prayers. We hear this a lot. In the men's Bible study on Thursday, we brought this up. People will say things like people in the fires and say, well, our prayers and thoughts are with you. I stole this from Dennis, by the way. Prayers and thoughts are with you. Like the prayers and thoughts are somehow the effective thing. They're not. It's who you're praying to. It's the God behind the prayers that matters. We're asking God to do something. And a lot of people, when we say prayers and thoughts, who they're praying to or who they're talking to is a little fuzzy. We don't want to be non-believers. We want to be people who believe in God. And prayer is the way we talk to God. Prayer is the way we show we believe in God. And that's the part that we want to be emphasizing. Want to make sure that we're doing what we do because God is the one who's doing things. There's this little girl named Jane, and she said, Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you have now? Seems like a realistic... Jane is talking to God in a very clear way. We kind of think maybe it's a little odd that she's saying things like that, but she's talking to God like God exists and God does things. That's what she's doing. And we think, well, we shouldn't pray like that. Well, God knows what you're thinking, so you might as well just say whatever it is you're thinking. That's one of those things that we wouldn't do that in public. But if you go into your room and you're just praying by yourself and you're kind of tired, maybe you're not feeling very well, just go ahead and tell God that. He knows it anyway. If you really, really would like God to just, you know, take care of that person who's giving you a hard time, you might as well tell God what you want. By the way, God is not obligated to do what you ask him to do. So exactly. Lots of people through history have said, I thank God every day that he didn't give me what I asked for, because I look back now and say, I didn't really need that or want that. But it's okay to tell him what you're feeling. Ask him for what you want. Just trust him to be wise enough to know which prayers to answer and which prayers not to answer. The third part about is don't be self-centered. And we have to skip over the prayer and get down to verse 14 and 15 where it says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus has to say it both ways, positive and negative. If you forgive, you get forgiven. If you don't forgive, you don't get forgiven. Again, that's kind of a difficult thing, concept for us sometimes, is we realize that, well, God should forgive me because I'm not bad. Yeah, I'm a pretty good person. But God, I don't have to forgive them. But that's the wrong thinking. Sometimes we don't get things in our life because we're so self-centered that we think we deserve things and other people don't. they don't deserve it from us. And God says, well, you need to live out what you want from me for other people. You want me to show you grace? Show grace to others. You want me to forgive you? Forgive others. You want me to fill in the blank, whatever it is? Are you willing to do that for others? Are you willing to help a homeless person, or do you just want to pray? Are you willing to do what it is God wants you to do? Or is it, are you self-centered enough to think, well, as long as God's doing it for me, then that's good enough? One of the things that I always try to picture God is as a flow of water. That water flows from God to me. That grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, everything that God brings to me. Okay, well, if I keep it, what happens to that water? It stagnates, yeah. What happens to a river if it's flowing down to the mountains and it all of a sudden gets to a low spot where it just sits there? It becomes a swamp. What you want to be is a river that flows through you and just keeps right on flowing to other people. You keep getting new things, you keep getting fresh water, and that water just flows out to other people. We want to be the kind of person that does that. Whatever we get from God flows from me towards other people. And that's what we want to be. We don't want to be that self-centered. There's this little girl named Darla who wrote, "Dear God, did you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, then I'm really going to fix my brother." Which is probably more true of our prayers than we want to believe a lot of times. So, when you pray, don't be a hypocrite. When you pray, don't be a non-believer. When you pray, don't be self-centered. Now we're going to do something just a little bit different. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer a little bit different than maybe you've ever looked at it before. We're going to kind of compare the things that Jesus just said. Don't be a hypocrite, don't be a non-believer, and don't be self-centered. Then he gives this model prayer. So we're going to ask ourselves, how does the model prayer reflect what he was just talking about in the other verses? That's what we mean by context. When Jesus gives this model prayer, he doesn't give it so that we pull it out of those other paragraphs and set it off to the side. He says, now I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. If you're not a hypocrite, if you're not a non-believer, if you're not self-centered, what does that look like? The problem a lot of times with the Lord's Prayer is that we want to update it sometimes. And I came across this as an example of maybe the way we would say or write the Lord's Prayer if we, or today, people would do that. And it says this: our universal chairperson in the metaphysical realm, your identity enjoys the highest rating on a prioritized selectivity scale. May your sphere of influence take on reality parameters. May your mindset be implemented on this planet as in the metaphysical realm. Allow us at this point in time and on a per diem basis a sufficient and balanced dietary food intake, and rationalize a disclaimer against our disparaging feedback to others. Deprogram our negative potentialities, but desensitize the impact of the counterproductive force. For yours is the dominant sphere of influence, the ultimate capability, and the highest qualitative analysis rating at this stage of human history and extended beyond any limited time frame. And God said, what? That's kind of an example, by the way, of the babbling that Jesus was talking about. He's using these highfalutin words that nobody really understands, and you're trying to impress people. You're not really trying to talk to God. And nobody knows what you're talking about. Not even God can figure all that stuff out without a dictionary and a thesaurus and all that. God doesn't want to do that. God just wants to talk to you. So God says in the first one is, when you pray, speak like you believe God actually exists. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The word Father is a relationship word. When you say Father, you're talking to a person who has the characteristics of a parent. You use the word our, it's personal. Hallowed be your name means you're concerned about that person's reputation or that person's, the way other people think about that person. You start off your prayers acting like you really believe that there's somebody on the other side of it, that somebody's listening. And that person's not the force or some spiritual entity, but is a person. And that person listens to your prayers. And that person hears you. And that person has likes and dislikes. And that person has things that they want to talk back to you about. When we pray, we want to be praying like there's actually somebody listening who actually can and does things. That at the same time seems feeble, but I don't know what you think about when you pray. You close your eyes and, you know, you're trying to talk to words. But, I mean, sometimes, I know that for a lot of times for me, it's difficult to put a face on the other side. You know, I kind of just feel like I'm talking to heaven or something. Honestly, I don't. Some people probably are different. They picture a face or they picture a person, and that would be good and healthy. Kind of the same way when you talk on the phone. If you're talking onto the phone to somebody you know, you're talking on the phone and you're picturing in your mind what that person looks like, maybe even where they're sitting in their house or wherever they are. I mean, you're kind of thinking about the context in which the conversation is happening. It's the same thing with prayer. We want to be thinking about the context that it's happening. So sometimes it's better to maybe open our eyes and look at a chair in front of us and say, there's God sitting right there, and I'm talking to God. Like God actually exists. Like God actually listens. That God actually has a conversation with me, talks back, all those kinds of things. Our Father in heaven is a way of acknowledging that we are talking to that person and not just some impersonal force or some being out there that is way out there. No, God is right there listening to your prayers. And that takes, it takes a little bit of work. It takes some imagination. But it's important for us to start there. We don't want to be a non-believer. We don't want to be a hypocrite. We want to talk to God, our Father, who has these characteristics, who is a person, who has a being, a specific thing. In the second line, then, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray, ask for what you already know God wants to do. Sometimes we don't get answers to prayer because we spend a lot of time telling God what we want to do instead of asking God or thinking about what we think God might want to do. We can pray for people. Somebody brought it up, I think Shanti did, about praying for our unbelieving families. We pray for them. Why? Because we know God wants them to be saved, don't we? That's what we want. We know God wants that, and we want it too. So we can pray for those things and talk to God about those things. We've talked a little bit last week about being more spiritual about things rather than necessarily physical, because God is more concerned about your spiritual health than he is about anything else. He wants to make sure that you are in a good place and a good relationship with him. Everything else is secondary. Doesn't mean it's not important. It just means that the most important thing to God is not always the most important thing to us. So when we pray, ultimately, that's what we really want to be. Eventually, if we pray enough and learn to pray, our prayers will line up with exactly what God wants to do in our lives. Because we will be wanting the same thing that God wants. And then all of a sudden, you'll get all kinds of answers to prayer. Because God already wants to do those things. And he's looking for that to happen. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are all things that God wants to do. God wants his will done on earth, just like it is in heaven. That's God's intent and purpose as he works through our lives, that we would do God's will. So we can pray, God, help me to do your will. And he has told us what his will is. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we study these things. And one of those things is that, for example, that we forgive other people. So if you think you can't forgive other people, that's not true. God says, that's my will for you. I will help you do that. You can forgive other people. Only one person said amen to that. Isn't that kind of like, just looking out there thinking everybody's thinking about that really hard and saying, yeah, I know that's true, but you don't know my whatever. The third thing, give us today our daily bread. When you pray, acknowledge that you depend on God. We rely on God, even for something as simple as the food that's on our table. So when we pray, we always have to come to that mindset that we depend on God to do these things. Oh, sure, we may contribute to them and we may do some things to provide for ourselves, but ultimately all of that comes from God and what God is doing in our life and the way that God acts in our life. And praying then is acknowledging that I really need God to do what God does. And we don't always come to God with that mindset, I think. Sometimes we really come to God thinking, well, God should just do what I tell him to do, and then I can go do what I do, and then everybody will be happy. No, I need God to do everything that happens in my life. I need that strength. I need the wisdom. I need whatever God is bringing to me so that these things can happen in my life. Even when somebody else does it, it still is God doing it through that person. So that's important for us to remember. When you pray, always remember or acknowledge that you depend on God. Give us today our daily bread. You would think that would be something that we wouldn't necessarily have to pray for, right? Doesn't God know that we need bread? Yeah, he does. In a few verses, it talks about that. About God knowing what you need to eat or what you need to wear later on in this sermon. So God knows those things, but we need to be reminded that we depend upon God to provide those things. That's part of that. We don't want to be self-centered. I don't want to believe that it's me doing these things, but it's God doing these things, and it's important for me to do that or remember that when I pray. Verse 12 and 13. Let's see. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When you pray, accept the fact that you have sinned and will sin again. Again, not self-centered, not a hypocrite. But the reality is, I fail. I will do things that hurt you. I will do things that hurt God. And I need to remember that that's part of praying. That I am standing before God as a person who is a sinner. I was trying to do a little bit Anyway, instead of using the word sin, put a specific thing in there. Like, because we can all, a lot of times we can admit, oh yeah, I'm a sinner. But then when we actually say, for example, tell a lie, and we have to go to God and say, I am a liar. Well, that kind of changes things a little bit. It's easy to say, I'm a sinner. It's much more difficult to say, I'm a liar, or I cheated, or whatever it is that you struggle with. And that's why the prayer includes this whole thing, not only just saying, forgive me, God, for that, but keep me from being in situations where it's going to happen again. because I acknowledge not only that it happened yesterday, but it could happen today. And I need your help, God, to keep me out of those kinds of situations, to protect me from those situations. Even to the point, God, where if you can keep Satan out of my way today, that would really be good. I would really appreciate that, God, if you would do that. The word temptation is in there, but lots of people have pointed out that sometimes it can be translated as testing, too. And we need to look at a lot of times temptation that way. It's not like God puts us in a situation where he wants us to fail. It's that God puts us in situations because he wants us to measure our faithfulness to him. When I get into a testing situation where my temptation would be to tell a lie or to cheat or to hurt somebody, the question is, do I pass that test and not do those things? A lot of times I think we don't keep track of those. Maybe we should. It might help us a little bit to go, wow, God helped me get through that today. I didn't lash out at that person, or I didn't get angry, or I didn't lie in that situation. Instead, I told the truth, and that's good. Reminding of that. But we need to always come to prayer with that idea that God can help me and wants to help me get through those things. And we have to be honest about that. It's easy for us to say, I'm not that bad. Yeah, maybe I fudged the truth a little bit yesterday, but that really wasn't that big a deal. And the real praying is, God, keep me from doing even that. Keep me from rationalizing things. Keep me from ignoring those. It's actually really difficult because it depends on the person, but some people are very quick to forgive themselves, as we've already noticed, but we don't forgive to other people. So again, when I pray to God, it's not just that I acknowledge that I'm a sinner, but I acknowledge that you're a sinner too, and that you're going to do things that will hurt me. You're going to be dishonest with me. You're maybe going to cheat me. And I have to be willing to, Jesus says, forgive you. No, we don't want to do that. That's too hard. Let's just forgive ours. Let's just have God forgive us, and we'll just go that route. That's a lot way easier, and we'll just let everybody be on their own. Can't do that. The last point that I'm going to point out here is when you pray, remember you are part of a family. Notice that the pronouns in this thing are all our Father, give us today, forgive us as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. It's all plural because we're in this together. Don't want to be self-centered. It's not about me. It's about us. It's not just important that I get my daily bread, but that we get our daily bread. It's not important that I get forgiveness, but that we get forgiveness. It's not important that I am not led into temptation, but that we are not led into temptation. And if this church is going to grow, if we're going to grow in our faith, the number one thing we're going to have to do is do all of these things in prayer, particularly rely on God, but we're also going to have to forgive each other. Because I know I am going to do things that are going to hurt your feelings or going to be things you disagree with or that you don't like, and you're going to have to forgive me. And since there's one of me and many of you, I'm going to have to forgive all of you even more, see? Forgive, just realizing that if I ask God for something, I have to be willing to do the same thing for you is just one of the foundational things about prayer. Prayer is not just me talking to God. It's understanding that the way that I live my life the rest of the time when I'm not praying affects my prayers and makes a difference. We're going to end this prayer by saying the Lord's Prayer together. We're going to read it off of here so we're all saying the same words. Otherwise, we all say the words that are, you know, we remember from our childhood or whatever. So we're going to close this sermon by saying this together. Are you ready? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll just say a quick prayer while the worship team's coming up. Otherwise, we all have to sit here and watch them walk up here to do this. But let's pray again. Father, I thank you for hearing our prayers today. I thank you for teaching us through your word. And I thank you, God, that in everything that we do, we can rely on you. Help us to focus on who you are. Help us not to be hypocrites. Help us not to be non-believers. Help us not to be self-centered. But help us to be people who look to you for the answers, for the wisdom, for the healing, for the strength, for whatever we do. We thank you, God, for being here in this room this morning. And we'll just praise you as we head home today. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.